supposed to pray right now, but I feel, I think God wants me to share a testimony with you, just really quick. Friday Night Fire, it was really hard for me. I've been just having a lot of things on my heart lately, just stuff with work, circumstances, stress. My cat suddenly went blind on Friday. And it was the end of the service, and everyone was leaving, and Helen came up to me, and she noticed that something just wasn't right, and she prayed joy over me, and which is a prayer that I didn't realize I needed at the time. And so then when Saturday came, you know, I just kind of figured Saturday was just going to be another busy day, you know, 3-4 hours of soccer with the kids, carting them around. They also had a birthday party. Matt and I normally draw straws on who has to take them to the birthday party, and it was me. And just on top of that, I had about 20 hours of work I needed to get done, so I brought my laptop with me. And so I took the kids to a birthday party at 4 o'clock at the park, and just something just happened. Just watching all the kids play, and you know, I'm doing work, and then like some, you know, things start clicking, and I actually finish my 20 hours of coding in like 2 hours, and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I really needed this, and you know, I was about to leave, and the Lord was like, just stay. And so we're at this birthday party, and the kids just, you know, the kids are all crazy. They just got done singing Happy Birthday. And 5 minutes later, it was a birthday party for a kid whose family was from Guatemala, and so a lot of the people there were Guatemalan. They had a really delicious food, so that was also very joyful for me. But everyone started breaking out in prayer and worship during the birthday party, and I was like, whoa, what is going on? Like, you know, the kids were just off like playing and doing stuff, but then people were standing and singing in Spanish. They were all singing a different song. They were all praying something different, but I could tell like it was worship and prayer because they said Señor Dios, and I at least know enough Spanish to know that. Thank you, Pastor Jose. And they were just praying and worshiping and praying and worshiping, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is joy. Like, thank you for praying that, Helen, because I really needed that, and the Lord knew I needed that. And our joy can't come from the world. It has to come from Christ. It has to come from Christ. And I'm just so happy that the youth are up here worshiping and down there serving, because they are discovering what it means to abide in the Lord, to have Christ live in them. They see something, they are hungry for it. And Lord Jesus, just thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for today, that you have brought your children into worship, into leading worship, Lord, that you have put a hunger in their hearts for you, Lord. You have put a desire there, a desire that can't be met by anything in this world, Lord, but you. It is Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that not only are you in every circumstance, Lord, you abide in us, Lord. You abide in us. And thank you that Jesus is our hope, that Jesus is our joy, that Jesus is our future, Lord. And we pray these things in his name alone. Amen.
So on March 30th at 2 p.m., we will have our annual Easter egg hunt, so please bring candy, and if you have any little toys, bring those too. No chocolate, please, because it will melt, and we need all those donations by March 17th, so please bring those. Thank you.
Good morning. So on March 23rd from 9 to 1 p.m., we are going to have a yard work day, and we're going to make our church grounds beautiful for Holy Week. Childcare is available as well as coffee, donuts, and pizza. So hope to see you there.
I'd like to invite all the kids to come forward for children's moments.
So, how many of you guys like doing experiments? Like, you don't want to like try new things? Like, okay, well, that's what we're doing today. So, do you guys know the armor of God? You do? Yes, maybe? Okay. So, Okay. So, we're going to do an experiment, and I'm going to use oranges to represent what the armor of God is. Oranges is the best fruit? Potato, potato. So, we all know what the armor of God is, right? Yes. So, this orange represents us. It's just a normal orange. It's fine. It's an orange. And I have water, and this water represents life. It represents just life. So if I put life into both of these cups, I really hope I don't spill. It does look like Sprite. These are bubbly cups. Yeah. Okay. So this represents us just normally, and if we put it in, it'll slowly sink down, right? It has no peels on it, so it's just a normal orange. But this orange has a peel on it. So if I were to put a peel on this one, it would float. So when we, yeah, so when we don't have the armor of God on, we sink. But when we have the armor of God on, we float. Pretty cool, huh? I only think it's cool. Well, the orange represents us. It's not actually us, you're right. It's an orange. I'm not, okay. Let's just pray. No! It's just supposed to represent that when we have the armor of God on, we'll float in life and we'll be good. But when we don't have the armor of God on, we'll float, or we'll sink and won't be good. No more questions. Let us pray. Okay. Dear God, we thank you for letting us come together. We pray that you help us wear the armor of God wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
As the kids head out, we're going to take a few minutes and greet each other, grab some water, use the restroom if you need to, but let's stand and greet each other.
I'm going to read Proverbs 10, verses 1 through 5, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for each and every one of members of the DOC. We thank you for Skyland Church. Holy Spirit, we thank you for you. And today, Father, as we share the word and we share the message, Lord, I ask that it will be received in our hearts so we can evaluate ourselves and pray for others. So, Father, I give myself to you at this time. Take control of what we're going to be sharing. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. All right. How y'all enjoying this so far? Yeah. These guys keep me straight. They keep me young. I mean, I discovered TikTok through them. You know, I mean, what can I say? We're pretty much close in age, so I feel really good. That's right. They give me a hard time because I don't have an iPhone, and that's all good. You know, I'll stick to that. So in the passage that was read today, we come to realize that as people in this world, we're all different, believe it or not. We are all different. We process things differently. We think differently. We all have different personalities. We all have, you know, we're just different. We're just different. I mean, thank God you guys are not like me, because this world will be a mess. Now, we all have what I like to call, and which is the title of today's message, the line of life. Now, today, we're going to identify each line by identifying the way we do life, the way we react to certain situations in our lives. And we might learn that maybe, just maybe, one of these might describe us. So as we have these great future leaders of Skyland Church who will be assisting in this message, we all ask that you open your hearts today to what God will be speaking today through this message. Now, there are eight lines that we'll be sharing, and if one of these describes you, don't worry. Don't you worry, because we're not in the judging business. So as we start and as we begin to describe the line of life, I ask you, are you ready? Yes. Was that convincing?
No.
Okay. I'm going to ask again. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So let's begin. Line number one. This line right here. This line describes the person who walks in only one direction. You know these people that are just one track mind, that they're just focused in just one thing, and if you give them a second task, they're lost. They just only go towards one direction. And if you give them something else, they shake. They're just trembling. They're just nervous. Now they can't do what they were doing initially and what they're going to do now, because they're all lost, because they only walk in one direction. Do you know a person like this? Don't say it. Just think about it. So that's the first line. Line number two. The second line The second line, this one describes the person who never knows what he or she wants. Going all over the place. I mean, I know people that one day they want to be this. The next day they have a totally different idea. They are never steady on their goals. They're never steady on the direction that they're walking. One day I want to be a doctor. The next day I want to be a janitor. I mean, come on now. People like this do exist. Do you know somebody like this? Don't say it. I'm just saying. I'm going to be watching all these reactions. There will probably somebody's going to go, I know. Line number three. Line number three describes the person who is rigid. This is the person who does not accept any change in his or her life. This is the person that's going to say, you met me like this, I have always been like this, and I ain't never going to change. This is the person that will not accept changes and that feels that needs that everything that I do has to be the right way to do it. This is the way I am. You met me like this, and I'm not going to change for nobody. I know people that are like this. And the fact is that they don't grow. They won't grow in knowledge. They won't grow in faith because they are so rigid that we feel that we have to be accepted and justified because of the way I am. And it has to be this way. If you don't like it, tough noogies. Did I say that right? Well, we don't say that in Brooklyn, so you know, I just want to make sure that I'm saying it correctly. So that is the third line. So far, we have talked about the person that goes into one direction, the person who never knows what he or she wants, the inconsistency, and the person who is rigid that will not go into change. We're good so far? Everybody good? All right, we're all ready for number four? Line number four. Line number four. This one describes the person that always depends on someone else. This is so me. This is so me. You know, I always depend on Angie. I always depend on Eleanor. I always depend on Von Marie. If I don't have these people in my life, I'll be so lost. So do you know a person like this? But thank God we're in a no-judge zone. That's why I said what I said in the beginning. So this is the person that always depends on someone else. The person that can never function on their own. They always depend on somebody to walk them by the hand and to say, okay, come on, let's go ahead and do this. You know, I'm not that bad, you know? I mean, but I could do stuff by myself, you know? I could eat a good sandwich alone. So this is the person that always depends on someone to take them to the next level. You know, if I don't do it, it's never going to be. I mean, if somebody else doesn't do it for me, it's never going to be done. Things that I have to do on my own, if it's not done, if I'm not getting help, if I'm depending on somebody to help me do this, everything is a help. Please help me. And then when it gets to this point, so many times I can victimize myself because it was never done, nothing was accomplished, because I didn't have anybody to do it with me or to do it for me. I'm not that bad. I am not that bad. This describes me. All right, so line number five. Line number five is the person that always makes a big issue out of something small. Do you know these people? That is not so me. I'm just saying, these are the people that will take one little incident and they will make something really huge, something really big. Now, you know who is an expert in leading this right here? The enemy of souls, Satan. If you give Satan a little bit, it's more than enough for him to make a big city of the mess. So you have the person that will take a simple situation and make a big drama. And not only will this person drag himself through the mud, he'll drag everybody with him. Do you know a person like this? Don't say it. Don't say it. You know, the good thing is that we don't have him at Skyline Church. I'm just saying. Except for the number four, you know. All right, line number six. Line number six is the person that always depends on their economical status, on their finances, to solve everything. They depend on their own logic, on their own finances. If my finances is not straight, I'm not doing it. People like this lack faith. People like this are only depending on their own understanding, and they're not leaning towards the source, which is the Lord. If this would be the case, do you think that 5,000 souls would have been fed when there was only 7 pieces of food? No, it took faith. See, God's math is very different than mine. God's thinking is very different than mine. So if I have to depend on my own resource, I'm not going very far. I have to depend solidly on the Lord. Now, we're going to do a recap. Thank you, Sam. 7 and 8, hold on. So, we're going to do a recap because, you know, somebody once told me repetitions are always important. So, we have the person who only walks into one direction. We have the person who never knows what he or she wants. Then we have the person who is very rigid. This person does not accept any changes in his or her life. Then we have the person that always depends on someone else. Then we have the person that always makes big problems out of small situations. And we have the person that always depends on finances or on our own resources to solve our problems. And in addition to this, you will always have those that are always moping, those that are always happy, those that are always crying, there is so much more personalities. These are some of the line of lives that we wanted to share with you. Maybe one of these will resonate. Maybe we know someone that probably will describe one of these personalities. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. Maybe this describes our own. Maybe it does not. But rest assured, this describes somebody on the face of the earth. And one of these, or a couple of these, right here. However, there is one line that no matter what line describes you, this line is the only line that matters the most. This line represents the source. This line represents our everything. When we look at the cross, one thing that I can assure you is that it doesn't matter to God which of these are we. It doesn't matter to God if I am one person, I am the person with a one-track mind. It doesn't matter to God if I am very inconsistent in my decisions. It doesn't matter to God if I am rigid and to me I will not change because the Holy Spirit will change me anyway. It doesn't matter to God if I depend on somebody else. He's going to teach me to depend on him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God which way we're going or what we are thinking or where I put my dependence on. He's going to teach me that he is my resource, that he is my everything, and that he has my life in his hands, and he is going to do it for me. So no matter which one of these describe me, This is my source. This line is my source. You know what this line represents? This line represents life. This line represents the fact that me belonging in this line, Christ took my place and he gave his life for each and every one of us to give us life. This is the line that matters the most. So it doesn't matter which of these lines describe us. It doesn't matter if one of these lines we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so me. Or, oh my gosh, I know somebody like this. This is the line that transforms us and that will change us. Now, let's look at line number 8 and one last line. I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward. We're about to land this plane. This last line right here, line number 8, is the question. Ask yourself, which one of these represent you? And where do you put your trust? Do you put your trust in your own personality, or will you put your full trust in the line that can transform it all? Now, thank you, Jack. Now, in closing, please pay attention to this last part of the message.
Someone shared this in social media, and my grandmother shared it with us, and I think it's a good thing to read. A fifth grade teacher in a Christian school asked her class to look at TV commercials and asked if they could use them in some way to communicate about ideas about God. Here are some of the results. God is like Bayer aspirin. He works miracles. God is like a Ford. He's got a better idea. God is like Coca-Cola. He's the real thing. God is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send his very best. God is like Tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. God is like General Electric. He brings good things to life. God is like Sears. He has everything. God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him. You'll like him. God is like scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. God is like Delta. He's ready when you are. God is like Allstate. You're in good hands with him. God is like VL5 hairspray. He holds enough through all kinds of weather. God is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you have him? Don't you wish everybody did? God is like the U.S. Post Office. Neither rain, nor snow, nor sleet, nor ice will keep him from his appointed destination. Therefore, no matter what line describes you, God will make it better if you trust him.
It's my prayer today that the God has spoken to you. These guys were as excited as I am for this day. I think they did a great job in their parts. I think they all shined in this service. But it's not over yet. You see, God honors the prayer of his people. And these soldiers are ready to pray for you. So we want to open the altar. And we're going to be making room here. And what we're going to ask is that if God spoke to you and there is a need for prayer, these young soldiers are ready to pray you up. The altar is open, but let us pray. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you because, Lord, you have described us. And I know, Lord, that in my own personality, I always am reminded that my full dependence is in you. So, Lord, as you spoke to us today, I ask, Holy Spirit, that at this time you will anoint the hands of these young men and women, and that you will allow us to pray for those that are in need, and that you will listen to the cry of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open.
Thank you.
Right in front of you is the future of Skyline Church. Now, they're the cream of the crop. They're the best of the best. And I invite you, church, to continue to pray for this future leadership. Pray for their families. They're in a tough spot with the public school setting. You're talking about light in the darkness. They're living it. So we ask that you lift them up every single day. These guys love Jesus more than we can ever imagine. So I'm gonna ask church that you stretch your hand over here. We're gonna pray over them. And Father, we just thank you for the doc at Skyline Church. We thank you for their families. We thank you for leadership. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. We thank you for what they represent. We thank you for how much they love you. And I pray that you will bless each and every one of them, their families, that you will be with them in their schools. Father, that those that will look at each and every one of these lives, they can see you through them. And every word that comes out of their mouth will be ordained by your Holy Spirit. So I lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we leave this place today, we ask that your peace will be with us, that your joy will never leave our sight, and we can continue to walk the way that leads to life. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We love you. Have a great week. Go in peace.